to TwerpCast, episode 53. Conan Cast. With apologies to Mr. O'Brien, this Conan is a bit more muscular and sheds a lot more blood. I'd like to introduce you to executive producer James Caswell, a man of many swords. And that is his only connection to Conan.
And he's Doug Zeitler, co-executive producer of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions and Casual Man About Town.
Jim, why don't we talk a little bit about the origins of Conan of Cimmeria?
Created in 1932 by Robert E. Howard, Conan is probably the most famous character created in the fantasy subgenre of sword and sorcery. It's said that Conan was the successor to Cole of Atlantis, which was also written by Howard. While the tales of Conan first appeared in Weird Tales magazine, he has since been published in books, comics, films, television programs, video games, role-playing games, and even a board game. Gnome Press distributed a collection of stories published in 1934. Marvel Comics published comic books beginning in 1970. Also, a little-known fact, due to his correspondences with H.P. Lovecraft, Howard and Lovecraft often referenced each other's works, which were found in the original stories, causing Conan to be considered part of the Cthulhu mythos.
Conan of Cthulhu. In the latter half of the 20th century, Arnold Schwarzenegger brought new life into the character of Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger's career was launched with the first Conan the Barbarian movie in 1982.
What, you discounting Hercules Goes to New York?
Every opportunity I get. While the movie was not particularly faithful to the original stories, the film was very popular and catapulted Conan into the public eye. One of the things that made this kind of unfaithful was the whole becoming an orphan and a slave. In the original books, Conan never really was a slave. He was trained to be a warrior, and basically he left his family to go off and become a barbarian. It wasn't a case of him escaping to become a barbarian. He was actually trained to become one. But in the 1980s, it made it a whole lot easier to help explain some of his more deadly actions, to explain, well, he never had a mommy and daddy to raise him right. No, back then, people were trained to go on out and kill people.
This movie, I believe, was an accidental blockbuster.
Oh, very much so. I don't think they really intended this movie to make much money at all. How were they to know that they had a future action star on their hands that would rake in trillions of dollars over his career? What's the next level above trillions? That's the level that he has hit in his career.
That's crazy!
Thank you, Dr. D. I want to talk a little bit about some of the other people that were in the first Conan movie, because honestly, yes, Arnold was the star of the show and drew a lot of attention, and yes, it was fantastic that his career started here. But as a 12-year-old boy, Conan's big, huge, muscular pecs wasn't the thing that drew my attention the most. It wasn't even necessarily his huge sword.
Jim, this is getting a little homoerotic.
It was Sandahl Bergman. We often crack jokes about whether it was Yvonne Craig or if it was Linda Carter that jumpstarted us into puberty. I think Sandahl Bergman had a little something to do with it, too. Let's be honest. But if you want to talk about somebody's actual acting prowess being impressive, both movies actually featured Mako as well. During the 60s, 70s, and 80s, if you needed an Asian part filled in your movie or TV show, it was either Mako or George Takei that you called.
Which we could do an entire other show on the casting or lack thereof minorities in Hollywood. But that's not where we're actually going with this cast.
But at least Mako was a talented actor. He may have been put into niche parts, but he filled that niche well. And of course, playing the big bad guy, the man that Conan wanted to destroy, was James Earl Jones himself. Yeah, imagine that, casting James Earl Jones as the bad guy. I wonder where they would have come up with an idea like that.
This is the voice of CNN.
No, we're talking about movie bad guys, not real life bad guys.
And of course, due to the popularity of the movie and the incredible amount of money it made, Arnold was brought back in the sequel, Conan the Destroyer. His family is dead. He's raised by barbarians. He is the Destroyer.
In Conan the Destroyer, we also had some famous people pop up. Quickly approaching the end of her 15 minutes of fame was Grace Jones, playing a savage, wild, almost inhuman creature.
So she wasn't acting.
Right. I don't know if she's capable of acting. Fresh off of her role in the James Bond movie was Olivia Diabo. Not so fresh off of Superman was Sarah Douglas. Of all people, you cast Wilt Chamberlain and Andre the Giant. Although of the various WWF wrestlers out there, Andre the Giant did probably have the best acting career out of the lot of them.
I am the Dread Pirate Roberts.
I'll get the Brute Squad.
I am the Brute Squad.
You are the Brute Squad. Conan the Destroyer was even further from the source material, but it really did make for a good sword and sorcery movie. Had a lot of sword, had a lot of sorcery.
And a spitting camel.
I remember fondly back on these movies, and in spite of the fact that there wasn't an Oscar-worthy performance in the lot of them, it was good, dirty fun at the movies.
You know, the movies actually have appealed to me more over time than they did when they were first released. I've always been more of a true science fiction fan, so even bad dubbed movies like Message from Space, I appreciated more than a good sword and sorcery movie. I wish I had been more open to the genre, because it does deserve its own place, despite Willow.
Still trying desperately to keep their toe into a franchise that is making them money, the producers followed that up with Red Sonja. Now, while Red Sonja is not truly part of the Conan saga, it might as well be. You have Arnold Schwarzenegger playing a sword-wielding, royalty-on-the-run-slash-barbarian, working with the lead character, Red Sonja, played by Brigitte Nielsen. Now, Brigitte Nielsen was fresh off the heels of Rocky III and married to Sylvester Stallone.
No accounting for taste.
Yeah, Sly really should have done better for himself. If Conan the Barbarian was three pens in the pocket protector, and Conan the Destroyer was 2.5 pens in the pocket protector, Red Sonja was
1 pen straight up.
There was really only one thing to draw you to this movie. Well, two things. Now, there were plans for a third Conan movie. It was supposed to be called Conan the Conqueror. And they were all set to make it until the point where Arnold and the producer realized that between Red Sonja and Red Dawn, they had fulfilled their contractual obligations to the studio and decided that they wanted more money. At this point, Arnold Schwarzenegger is raking in Terminator money and really does have the right to demand a bigger salary. Problem is that with any sequel, they were anticipating it making less than Conan the Destroyer, and Conan the Destroyer didn't make a whole lot of money to begin with. So, contract negotiations broke down, but in 1997, they took the script for Conan the Conqueror, changed the lead character's name to Krull. If you remember back when we started this, Krull was actually another character of Howard's that came before Conan, and cast Kevin Sorbo in the lead role. If Red Sonja is 1 pen standing straight up, Cole the Conqueror owes you money.
Oddly enough, I was at the world premiere of this at the Mall of America.
I'm sorry.
I didn't stick around to see Kevin Sorbo or the movie.
Oh, okay. So at least you didn't feel like you had to get your time and money back.
No, it just happened to be our vacation, which was happening in Minnesota, and we managed not to run into Kevin Sorbo.
Meeting Kevin Sorbo wouldn't be a bad thing. Having to sit through this movie would be a bad thing. I did actually see it, so I can judge it based on its lack of merits. But at least it wasn't as bad as Highlander the Source.
For some reason, I doubt we're ever going to find a movie that's as bad as Highlander the Source. It could happen. We're still using it as the below the bottom of the barrel. But it's going to be really hard to get worse than that.
I hope we never do. But if we do, we will be more than happy to adjust the benchmark. We've seen Plan 9 from Outer Space. it at least has camp value. Planet 9 from Outer Space is considered to be one of the worst movies ever made.
Go see it. It's really funny.
I think I would almost rather sit through 2 hours of Rebecca Black's Friday song than sit through another 2 hours of Highlander the Source. Either way, I'll feel like blowing my brains out. So, why do we suddenly bring up Conan the Barbarian? After 13 years of nothing even vaguely close to it, why do we bring it up now?
Well, it's 2011. It's time for another Conan movie.
Hollywood, the land of reboots. Not the land of imagination anymore, the land of reboots. This time around, they brought in Jason Momoa to play the barbarian himself, Conan of Sumeria. Those of you who are sitting there scratching your heads, wondering, who? Don't feel bad, I was right there with you, but thanks to a little trip to IMDb, I found out that he was on Stargate Atlantis, which explains why I'd never heard of the guy.
There's another whole topic that we could dedicate a cast to, the Stargate phenomenon. How did this become so popular and have 2 spinoffs for a show which was complete crap? I really tried watching it at the beginning, and it was really bad, and I couldn't waste my time with it. Then they brought in the Farscape actors Claudia Black and Ben Browder, and I thought, oh, 2 people that are really great. They're going to make the show awesome. And I still wanted to poke my eyes out rather than watch this television show.
Well, Jamie and Adam proved you can put a polish on it. But just because Jamie and Adam can do it doesn't mean that Ben Browder and Claudia Black can. I never even tried the TV shows because I hated the movie that much. But everybody has their own sense of taste. Just like comedy is subjective, pretty much all genres are subjective. It's not our fault that we like the good stuff and everybody else likes garbage.
Well, some of the other people agree with us.
They're the smart ones.
Yeah, I've seen better things go down the toilet than I've seen on Stargate.
That being beside itself, Jason managed to get the lead role as Conan. Also starring in the film is Rose McGowan, who, from the clips that I've seen, they've taken her natural good looks and have done something really weird to her, and I almost didn't recognize her. Ron Perlman is in the film, which, besides the fact that it's a Conan the Barbarian film, learning that Ron Perlman is in it is almost enough to make me see it just on that merit alone.
Ron Perlman really has become the fantasy and science fiction go-to guy.
Yeah, ever since he played Vincent on Beauty and the Beast, he has really endeared himself to me as an actor. I loved Beauty and the Beast when it was on TV. I was mortified when it got canceled. I was even more mortified when it came back. But I haven't seen Ron do anything that I haven't liked. He really is kind of like a Sean Connery, Harrison Ford type actor in that regard. He really hasn't done anything that I haven't been able to sit there and at least go, well, it had Ron Perlman in it at least. As badly as people ripped the 4th Alien movie to shreds, I'm still able to look at it and go, yeah, but at least it had Ron Perlman in it. And rounding it out as the love interest is Rachel Nichols, who the last thing that I remember seeing her in was the atrocious G.I. Joe movie.
G.I. Joe wasn't that bad. It just wasn't good.
You're right. G.I. Joe Renegades is much worse.
Yes, G.I. Joe Renegades is right up there with Highlander the Animated Series.
Or right down there with it, depending on your point of view. Sitting in the director's chair is Marcus Nispel, who, again, I went to IMDb, found out that he was responsible for the most recent Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the most recent Frankenstein, a movie called Pathfinder, and the most recent Friday the 13th. He's also known for doing music videos and commercials.
Basically, as far as I could tell, he's known for absolutely nothing.
Oh, he does a great job of taking somebody else's idea and trying to make it his own.
Marcus Nispel, what's he good for? Absolutely nothing.
But as much as we may tease this guy, I really don't have a base of knowledge to judge his work. I'm not into horror movies. Therefore, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Frankenstein, Friday the 13th, I haven't seen any of these movies. Therefore, I can't really judge his body of work.
Rachel Nichols, on the other hand, you can judge her body.
Of work.
Of work, of course.
Rose McGowan, I'd like to judge her body of work. But we are talking about a movie that is made in the 21st century. It's going to have a bigger budget. It's going to have better special effects. It's going to have CGI. It's going to have more of the sword and sorcery. Is that necessarily going to make it good, though?
It'll make it a cleaner movie. It'll make it a well-polished movie. But I don't know that those things make it a better movie.
Yeah, but based solely on your criteria for a good action movie, and I'm going to switch it up just a tad bit here because there aren't going to be any guns and there aren't going to be any cars, but it is going to have sword fights, horse chases, and explosions. So does that mean it'll fit your criteria for a good movie as long as those things are done well?
Should be a fun action-adventure flick.
But we shouldn't look for Jason Momoa to be nominated for Best Actor. One last thought. This is Conan the Barbarian in 3D. I've gone on before about my annoyance with everything being in 3D. You are a fan of 3D. Do you think this is a movie that needs to be in 3D?
Okay, that being said, I am a fan of 3D, but I don't think any movie needs to be in 3D. Maybe the sole exception to that would be Avatar. Maybe.
The reason Avatar is the sole exception to that is because it was made to be seen in 3D. The 3D was part of the storytelling experience. At least that's what you keep on telling me.
And that's how I feel about it, which is why I said, if there's any movie out there that needs to be seen in 3D, it's Avatar.
As opposed to a movie that throws in a couple of 3D special effects just so that they can market it for 3D and charge an extra $4 a ticket.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's nothing more than a scam to get more money out of your pocket.
The weekend before recording this, a bunch of us went to go see Captain America. Doug didn't go because Doug was at San Diego Comic-Con. I still hate you, by the way.
I still don't care.
But we went and saw Captain America in 2D, avoided the 3D. And it was funny because there were a few sequences where I sat there and I went, oh, that's where the 3D effect will come in. Oh, there's another one. Oh, yeah, they can turn that into a 3D effect too. But none of it was adding to the story. It was simply a case of, there's your 3D effect for the extra $4.
I have to agree with you.
I don't feel like I missed a single part of the story because I wasn't wearing the 3D glasses.
I think in order to truly be a successful 3D movie, you have to start in the writing process. If you are writing a movie for 3D and not doing one of these, now the umbrella opens towards the audience. Now the hockey stick comes towards the audience. Now the snowball comes towards the audience. I mean, those are just jokes. That's not 3D. That's just we have a 3D camera, let's use it. If you have an immersive experience where the characters in the movie are affected by the 3D, where it is necessary for you to be in the environment itself, 3D does an excellent job. But just to have something coming at you, by the way, check out IMDb, that was a 3D movie. If it's just to have something coming at you, there's no real reason for it at all.
A lot of times, the only thing 3D sends flying at me is a headache.
Well, at least the makers of the movie coming at you weren't trying to impress you and say, this is the world's greatest movie. They were telling you exactly what it was. It's coming at you.
So, all that being said, coming at you this summer is Conan the Barbarian. If you're up for some mindless violence and good-natured blood spilling, I think that this will probably be a movie that you'll enjoy. If you're looking for something that you can deeply think about and remember fondly for years to come,
go see Captain America.
The new Captain America film will still be playing in theaters at that point. That was a good movie.
We've said it before, and I'll say it again. When it comes to superhero movies, you have to first be a good movie, then be a superhero movie. And from every review that I've heard, that's what Captain America is. It's a good movie. And then it's a superhero movie.
Exactly. Thanks for listening, everybody.
As always, we encourage your feedback. Please write jim@torponline.net. We can also be found on Facebook, MySpace, Zanga, and Twitter.
Torpcast is a recording of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions. Copyright 2011.